There was an elder we had at Blantyre Old, sadly now long since departed. And she used to try and keep the rest of us in our place and keep us in the right lines. And she had a bit of a challenge at times. But she had an expression which I've never forgotten. She used to keep saying to us, "There is no such thing as a coincidence. There is only a God incidence. There is no such thing as a coincidence. There is only a God incidence." What she was getting at, of course, is that God has everything under control and nothing happens unless he wishes to allow it. I told you a few minutes ago about my experience with that last song, and I can't imagine how our organist could have chosen or thought to play an Easter song in August unless God had planned it. And at Easter, we celebrate Jesus' resurrection, his victory over death, his victory which will allow him to return for his final battle with Satan, which he will win. But what I hope you saw in our reading is that this was all planned. The disciples, and I include Mary Magdalene in that group, still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead in verse 9. Now, I don't blame them for this lack of understanding. It was a pretty big leap of comprehension to realize that dead did not, in fact, mean dead. And certainly, Jesus had tried to teach the disciples this. Jesus had taught them explicitly, using plain words, which we could read, for example, in Mark chapter 9. But as well as teaching by words, Jesus had prepared them by example. He had raised a widow's son from his own funeral. He had raised Jairus' daughter from death. And famously, of course, he raised Lazarus. And these examples had let the disciples see that Jesus had power over death. And indeed, if you go and read the whole story of Lazarus in John chapter 11, I think you'll see that the whole situation was planned. In that story of Lazarus, it seems that Jesus could have prevented Lazarus from dying. It seems that Jesus could have gone sooner to comfort the grieving family. And it seems that he deliberately did neither of those things because he wanted to make sure that the disciples knew that Lazarus was well and truly dead and that Jesus could restore him to life. One of the most wonderfully prosaic biblical quotes can be found in that story when Martha says, "There will be a bad smell, Lord. He's been buried 4 days." The point of that quote, of course, is that Lazarus was undoubtedly, unquestionably dead. He hadn't simply fallen unconscious for a few minutes. He'd been dead for probably 5 days and buried for 4. In the Middle Eastern heat, Martha was right. It would have been quite a bad smell. And the whole thing about this, and we as Christians face these same questions today, is that it is hard to believe that the dead can come back to life. And yes, we do occasionally come across stories of people who have seemingly died for a few minutes and then come back again. And probably that is possible, medically speaking. But not for 4 days or more, as in the case of Lazarus. People who don't want to believe in the risen Christ just want to say that it can't happen. It's impossible. Death is the end. Full stop. And that's why it's so important to know that none of this happened by chance. We as Christians need to know that everything was planned. We need to know that God planned for Lazarus to be dead for 4 days, so that when he raised Jesus after only 3 days, we can see it was possible. It was planned in advance. And not only was it planned in advance, it was planned in detail. Our call to worship today came from Isaiah chapter 25. And would you believe that the very first verse of that chapter praises God for doing the things planned long ago? So this idea of God's planning is not a new thing. It goes back even before the time of Isaiah. And as well as that, the short section that we read starts, "On this mountain the Lord Almighty will prepare." And then, "On this mountain he will destroy the shroud." And this wasn't any old mountain. This was specifically the hill on which Jerusalem sits, Isaiah tells us in chapter 2. The hill where Jesus was crucified and from where he rose to a new life. So yes, it was all planned, and it was planned in great detail. And none of the scriptural knowledge, none of Jesus' teaching, seems to have penetrated the disciples on this first Easter day. None of them seems to have realized that there was indeed a greater plan, and that for Jesus and for the disciples and for us too, death is not the end. And resurrection, the rising from the dead, is difficult to understand. And as I say, I don't blame the disciples for not being ready for it. And that difficulty of understanding is why I think there's another aspect of God's planning that I haven't come onto yet, which is the witnesses. In today's reading, there is only the one witness, Mary Magdalene, who saw, and very importantly, who touched the risen Christ. He was physically present. His actual body had risen. Later, the risen Christ would be seen and touched by more than 500 other people. Why was this? Why couldn't Jesus just go straight to heaven? Why did he have to hang around the risen Christ for over a month? The reason, surely, is that there needed to be enough eyewitnesses to prove the resurrection, that Jesus was truly still living, living with the holes in his hands and in his side. And by the same token, back to planning again, there were, it tells us, many people who saw Lazarus being raised and who then went on to worry the Jewish authorities. These witnesses told the story of what they had seen, but in God's plan, it also gave the high priest the final motivation to do what God had always planned for him to do, and to have Jesus crucified. In providing all these witnesses, God was making sure that no one could say with any hope of conviction that resurrection can't happen. God provided many witnesses to the resurrection of his own son, Jesus. And God provided us with many witnesses to the resurrection of an ordinary human being, Lazarus. God was giving us, his people, the ammunition we need whenever someone says, "That's impossible, can't happen." There were hundreds of eyewitnesses to say that it did happen. Remember, you only need two witnesses to prove something in a court of law. But God, as always, is abundant in his provision. He gives us many more witnesses than we need. At the end of time, Jesus will return for one last battle with Satan, which Jesus will win with us at his side. Our warm-up, our preparation, is to fight Satan on earth by defending his resurrection through these hundreds of witnesses that God always planned to make available to us. And this is the power of God. This is why we celebrate Easter. Whatever God has planned, he can and will make happen. And be in no doubt, God has a plan. It's a plan, as Jeremiah wrote, to bring you prosperity, to bring about the future you hope for. Seldom will God let us know what these plans are for us personally. But have faith that through Jesus' resurrection on that first Easter, they are plans for our own good. Please do keep trusting in the Lord. Amen.